like didn't say a word. She just kind of like stared at me and grinned. It was crazy.
Staring contest.
Yeah.
With
Bjork. A staring contest with Bjork, yes.
Who won?
Her.
Hello, how you doing? How was your Father's Day? Did you hang out? How was the first day of spring? Did you get outside, get some sweet sunshine onto that pasty body of yours? I did. Hey, the sunshine is keeping coming though. You ready for this? Oh, yeah. Fat Freddy's Drop are on tour in Australia at the moment, in the midst of a sold-out tour. And a couple of those sweet New Zealand soul merchants are dropping into the studio in about an hour's time. Did you see the really touching and beautifully written eulogy that George Bush Sr., former president of the USA, sent out on behalf of his wife and him? It was a eulogy, if you hadn't seen it, for former South African president and anti-apartheid revolutionary Nelson Mandela. It was really beautiful, actually, really quite touching. So I thought I would read a little bit to you. Barbara and I mourn the passing of one of the greatest believers in freedom we have had the privilege to know. He was a man of tremendous moral courage who changed the course of history in his country. Barbara and I had great respect for President Mandela and send our condolences to his family and countrymen. Such a beautiful and touching eulogy. The only problem, of course, is that Nelson Mandela isn't dead yet. Oh, dear, apparently his spokesman got it wrong and sent out a pre-prepared eulogy email. Apparently he, it was like written already and they sent it out, emailed it out before finding out that Mandela is very much alive. He's just been sent home from the hospital to be looked after in his home. Pretty awkward, but these things do happen. Did you know that magazines, newspapers, TV news places actually have these eulogies prepared months in advance, so they're ready to go? Dear, oh dear. So it did get me thinking, if you are one of the people that works for these companies, New Idea, Who Magazine, Women's Day, Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, if you can tell me what eulogies you've got prepared, give me a call, 1300 055 536. Maybe you work at a local TV station and you've got the pre-prepared Mandela video on your computer ready to go, or maybe some other ones. Maybe you're the one with the Charlie Sheen eulogy. Just ready to go, just ready to put into the newspaper. Give me a call, 1300 055 536. Bob from Launceston, hello, sir.
G'day, mate, how you doing?
I'm all right. Now, your sister had a very similar moment to George Bush.
Yeah, she was. She decided she'd write the eulogy for my mother.
That's and, nice. Hard thing to do.
Yeah, it would be if your mother was actually dead. She even actually gave it to my quite living mother. So
for what? Like for like her birthday, Mother's Day, maybe Christmas.
I think it was just all around love, really.
Oh, see, that's a better excuse. The spokesperson for the Bushes actually said the statement was sent this morning as a result of my misreading the header on the Washington Post news flash. So apparently he was reading like the news headlines as they come up on the screen and then got to, misunderstood one. I can't imagine what it would be.
He had an excuse.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, what would he have misread? Nelson Mandela goes home. And it's, oh, yeah, he goes home. Isn't that nice? I don't know. Maybe Nelson Mandela is dead and then stopped reading before it scrolled across to read dead tired or dead last. Oh, anyway, thank you very much for chatting to us, Bob. Lovely to speak to you. That is some smooth stuff from Daft Punk on Triple J. Give life back to music from Random Access Memories. And the best thing about it is the opening brass stabs could well be an intro music for Tom Tilley. Oh, Tom Tilley from Triple J's Hack Program. How you doing, man?
Oh, Lindsay, what a beautiful song. Can we turn these speakers up any louder?
I think I don't know. You're in the Adelaide studios. You're in control of your studios. Now, before we get into the reason you are hanging around the swinging voters of Adelaide, we were just telling the story of poor George Bush Sr. and his wife who released the eulogy for Nelson Mandela a little bit early.
The pre-release.
You guys know it in the current affairs industry as the pre-release, the pre-eulogy, the prulogy.
Wow, they got the scoop on the story, didn't they?
The great news is Nelson Mandela is okay. He's been released from hospital. He's recovering in a way at home. They've got to have his house modified. Have you ever, in your history of hack, accidentally released a eulogy for someone who is still alive?
No, I haven't, thank goodness. It is great to hear that Nelson Mandela is out of hospital and still alive. One experience I did have, which was quite strange, when I first started working in the ABC newsroom a number of years ago, I was sort of looking through the system at all these different stories people had written, and I came across this strange file that I'd never heard of before called the OBIT file, which means obituary. Yeah. And I started reading all these stories of all these people that had died that hadn't died yet. And there was a whole file of all these pre-prepared obits.
So people that they thought would die within their...
So, sadly, people are sort of watching people like Gough Whitlam, a former prime minister who's getting very old and, has an amazing story to tell.
Yeah, Malcolm Fraser as well, quite old, and what an amazing life.
Yeah, but it's so haunting and weird to look through this file and see the names of all these people that are still alive and see their life stories told like they died the day before. So clearly George Bush has been sort of just... going through the file and accidentally pulled out a few things and made them public.
I remember Ollie Wards, who is our program manager, used to produce Breakfast. When he was working at a New Zealand radio station, there was a red light on the wall that said OBIT. And apparently when the red light goes off, it means someone in the royal family has died. Sorry, this is when you're working in England. And it means they have to run an obit on that person. And apparently one day someone accidentally leant on the button, sending the entire radio station into obit overdrive.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's ridiculous.
Everything's going to be fine today. Everyone's okay.
In Adelaide. We're all still alive. Don't play our obits yet, Lindsay.
No, we're fine. In fact, we're swinging. We are alive and swinging.
Absolutely,
what is going on in Adelaide today?
Well, we've been out on the streets in Rundle Mall speaking to young people about what will swing their vote or what already has swung their vote. And a lot of people came up and said, I decided my vote a long time ago. And I sort of quizzed them about their different views on policies. And one young woman said, look, I vote Labor because they have the most humane policies. I'm like, well, how do you feel about their recent turnaround on asylum seekers? Basically promising that no boat arrivals will end up being settled here in Australia. And she goes, I'm not really across the detail of that. I just trust that Labor will have more humane policies. And likewise, people did the same thing on the economy. A lot of people trust that the coalition will always manage the economy better. And then you quiz them, well, what do you think of the way Labor brought us through the global financial crisis without going into a recession, one of the few advanced economies to actually do that? They're like, oh, right, yeah.
And how the coalition hasn't actually released its costings yet and won't do until like Friday afternoon.
Thursday, I believe. Okay, right, a lot of people hanging out for the detail there from the coalition. But a lot of people very passionate about, issues like the environment and jobs, which is what we'll probably focus on a lot today, because there are some parts of Adelaide where the youth unemployment rate is as high as 40%.
Whoa, 40%?
Yeah, that's right, in some parts of northern Adelaide. And if you've been following the news about the car manufacturing sector, a lot of the big car manufacturing in Australia has been done out of Adelaide, big Mitsubishi factories and Holden factories up north. And, there's been people that have had to accept fairly long-term wage freezes, and a lot of people have been retrenched from those industries here. So a lot of people really picking through the policies of both parties to see which will give them a more secure job future.
Now, Tom Tilley is a part of Triple J's Swinging Voters Tour, which is kicking off in Adelaide today. You had your booth set up in Rundle Mall, as you will every day as you swing around Australia. And, of course, very many opinions and very many things that are important to the people in the election, including the slogan of South Australia.
I actually wanted to come here to pioneer my new saying. Like, it's cool, Adelaide's awesome.
What happened to SA Great? You don't think that was pretty good?
Nah, it's better.
I don't know if it's just me thinking this, but it's more smooth sailing when we're under a Liberal government.
We need more money in education. We can never have enough.
It's very hard. I'm still kind of in two minds about it.
There's probably no one worse than Tony Abbott that could have a negative impact on this country. Kevin Rudd isn't much better. He's a megalomaniac. We all know that. He's got a God complex. We all know that.
Adelaide's awesome. That is the bitch.
Triple J Swinging Voters Tour.
Adelaide is awesome, Tom Tilley. I think you can agree with that.
What do you think of that? I like the old one, SA Great, which I brought up with that guy. But I quizzed him and like, well, why is Adelaide awesome? He goes, it's pretty quiet or loud when you want it to be. It has really great weather. And all I've heard from people here is that it's been wet and cold through most of winter until basically yesterday. And he goes, well, look, The policy is, Adelaide's awesome.
I also like the fact that he said, I've come here to pioneer a new slogan. I'm pretty sure...
Not pioneer, not purport.
What is pioneer? Pioneer is... He's also inventing words. I like this guy. He's a perfect politician, inventing words, inventing slogans.
Amazing. Inventing concepts. I mean, Adelaide does have the pie floater, where you put basically pie in a sea of peas and gravy and potato. Maybe it's some sort of transformation of that into some sort of political strategy. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, you are going to be there... after 5:30 tonight, Triple J Swinging Voters Tour is in Adelaide. Hey, you're going to love this after the news, dude, about 4:30. Fat Freddy's Drop are going to be in the studio.
Ooh, deep grooves.
Deep grooves. Have a good one, man.
See you, mate.
Amanda Shalalala. Yeah, I like that. There you go, Matt, isn't it? Yeah, could keep it sporty.
I haven't heard that in such a long time.
I know, I get excited because Alex Turner's going to be on the show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I went digging back through the old interviews and found him talking about you, the Hellcat Spangled Shalalala.
I love that. It makes me feel so special.
Just like Leighton Hewitt would be feeling special because he's winning tennis again.
I know, and I know you're asking people whether or not they like him again. Mm-hmm. I have always loved Leighton Hewitt. He's the epitome of Aussie battler.
He really is. And you know what? As someone has texted, no one loves Leighton like Leighton loves Leighton.
That's probably fair enough. But I remember going to the Sydney International as a kid and I was like wearing my hat backwards like him because I just thought he was great and I loved his fighting spirit. And it was on show again overnight. He beat Evgeny Donskoy in four sets to make it to the last 16 at the US Open for the first time in 7 years. Leighton won the tournament way back in 2001. So who knows, maybe he could produce a miracle and at 32 years old, put one more Grand Slam in the bag. And the man himself, of course, said he's very happy to make it this far.
Yeah, it was tough, obviously, mentally and physically, but I felt like I did everything right. I felt a little bit flat at the start of the match, but I played right and did all the right things, and then actually felt freer and better as the match went on.
Oh.
So he'll be playing Mikhail Yuzhny next. That'll be quite tough because Yuzhny is actually seeded. Hewitt is not.
Ooh.
But hopefully he can stage a great tournament.
Where is Beck Hewitt in all of this?
She's courtside in the players' box.
Do we have a grab from Beck?
Actually, it's been interesting hanging out with Leighton and his mates. I've learnt lots of interesting words.
Thank you. There we go, Beck.
Like, come on.
Oh, that's good. Well, let us know if you are back on the Leighton train. 0439757555. Did I forget something there? 36. 36 at the end of it. You can work it out.
Sounds good.
Quickly, AFL though. A lot of stuff going on in the world of AFL.
The top eight has been decided. The finals begin this week. The Hawks have won the minor premiership after beating Sydney at the weekend, and those two teams will meet again this Friday in the first of the qualifying finals. And the Hawks skipper Luke Hodge says that's going to be a very close one.
1v4, it's as close as it's going to get. I reckon they're both teams have showed throughout the season we can play some good quality football, and I think it's going to be a high intensity game Friday night.
It was pretty high intensity. I was watching the Hawks and Swans, and then I went to have a bite to eat. Came back, there was like 40 points between them, and then it equalised again when I went out to the toilet and came back. And then, Swans got over the line. Yeah, Hawks got over the line.
It's incredible they'll meet again this weekend, which was an epic grand final last year. So those two teams always produce great games. Geelong will take on Frio in the other qualifying final on Saturday afternoon. Then the two elimination finals will be Collingwood v Port Adelaide and Richmond v Carlton. So a lot at stake.
And have some of the grounds are going to be played on being decided now because of the way they've been won and stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy over where they're going to play the Geelong game. At this stage, it's going to be at Cadinia Park. There was talk that it might shift to Docklands, but they're going to keep it at the regional centre for all those Cats fans. The rest will be at the MCG.
So you fly into Avalon if you want to go there. That's how you do that. Coming up next, we've got a new champion in the rowing world.
Amanda Shalalala. Yeah, I like that. Australian
footer,
great game, Matt, and
it
could keep it sporty.
Keeping it sporty. Yes, with a bit of Australian footy, according to Alex. He's going to be on the show on Wednesday, so I might quiz him again about Australian footy, see if he's still into Australian footy.
Oh, hopefully. It's finals time, so he should be right up on it.
Absolutely, I'm sure. But just before we get into the NRL, a champion in the world of rowing.
Yeah, Kim Crowe last night, has won the women's single sculls at the World Rowing Championships in South Korea. It's the first time an Australian has ever won that prestigious event.
Whoa.
So it's really, really massive news. She is one of the loveliest people in the rowing world as well. A lot of hard work put into it, so she definitely deserves it. And she was obviously very proud of the achievement.
It's really special. Lyle, my coach, and I have put in a really big year of working out the areas that I needed to improve, and it's quite a special reward for a journey that has a lot of ups and downs, and it can be a very lonely journey in the single skull.
And I should mention there has been there's been another Aussie world beater today. Mitchell Gourley has won gold in the giant slalom at the International Paralympic Committee World Cup event in Thredbo.
Nice
A couple of Aussie legends there.
There's not only am I because I missed out on any good skiing this year. Not only is there sweet snow now, but there are also champions happening.
Yeah, definitely. It's building towards Sochi.
All right, now whilst the top eight have been decided in the AFL, the minor premierships getting decided this weekend in the NRL.
Yeah, this will be a huge game on Friday night. The Sydney Roosters taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Whoever wins that game will be crowned the NRL minor premier for 2013. And who knows, that could be a grand final rematch in a few weeks' time as well. There were a couple of upsets over the weekend. The Titans beat the Roosters and Manly beat the Storm. So now,
the Manly game.
The top four is pretty much decided now, but there are still four teams that can take those last two places in the top eight, if that all makes sense. So the teams like Knights, Cowboys, Titans and Warriors fighting it out to make it into the finals.
Well, the Warriors, I know they're playing St George next week for the remaining four.
Yeah, probably a good game for the Warriors to have to try and make it into the eight.
I didn't realise. I'm not going to not talk about how far down the ladder the Dragons are.
Second last.
but I was on Fat Freddy's Twitter account. They have been tweeting at the New Zealand Warriors. Of course, they're from New Zealand. They're in the country at the moment. Big fans. Warrior Nation has been tweeted a lot. And there has been another tweet about Fat Freddy's drop. Oh, sorry, about the Warriors. The hashtag is Let's Gone Warriors.
Yeah.
Tell us why is Let's Gone Warriors, not Let's Go Warriors?
Earlier this year at a Warriors home game, there was a fan that held a sign that said Let's Gone Warriors. So it's become a cult saying now.
It's like a meme.
Yeah, it is.
Let's Gone Warriors. Well, Let's Gone Warriors and Let's Gone Fat Freddy's drop. They're going to be in about 10 minutes. If you have been yelling Let's Gone Warriors at any Warriors games, maybe the Warriors versus Raiders on the weekend.
It's not just restricted to Warriors. Now, it's become a sensation for any sporting team.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go on. I like it a lot. Awesome stuff. Well, have a lovely week, Amanda Shalala.
Thanks, Doctor.
And we'll see you back. Remember, if you're a fan of the star-spangled Shalala, then Alex Turner's going to be on this show in a couple of days' time. That's Nine Inch Nails on Triple J, sounding a little poppy. Trent Reznor sounding vaguely happy, which is interesting. That's everything off his / their brand new album, Hesitation Marks, on Triple J. Oh, yes. Can I welcome to the studio a couple of the dudes from Fat Freddy's Drop. Hello there, MC Slave. Hello, Hope Pepper.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you guys doing halfway through this this sold-out run of Australian shows?
We're great. It's been amazing. The tour has been amazing, and the crowds have been epically excited.
Ask for more, to be honest. It's
pretty good.
Really special people, actually. It's been great.
And I thought it was nice that everyone's pulling together for you guys. The Warriors also decided to win on Saturday.
Wasn't that fantastic? Wasn't that amazing? Fantastic. Manu Vatu Try. Awesome.
Didn't he get a hat trick in like the first 5 minutes of the game or something?
Yeah, he got a hat trick in the first half of the game, and then Sean Johnson got a hat trick in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
They just need to keep playing like that, and it's all the way, baby.
They are playing. They are playing against the Dragons this weekend, and the Dragons are second last on the table. So,
I don't want to jinx it, but I'm quietly confident we'll take it on the weekend.
Have you guys been making up your Let's Gone Warriors signs? I only found out about that today. That is very funny that some dude had a big poster that said Let's Gone Warriors.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's like a typo that's taken on a whole new life, and the Warriors themselves have sort of embraced it. So it's just gone nuts. Everybody's like Let's Gone Warriors. It's hilarious.
Let's go on Freddy's. I want to see
Let's go on Freddy's. Exactly.
Yeah, that would be excellent. I would like to see that.
Where have we gone, though?
Where have we gone? Where are we going?
Well, it's actually Conrad in Brisbane just asked. He said, Fat Freddy's Drop's one of my favourite bands, but last show in Brizzy, so I'm guessing this is the Tivoli, said they had no drums or percussion. Is that correct?
Well,
That's how we roll.
Yes, but yes and no. Okay.
I mean, we've got a drummer.
We do have a drummer.
He's called Moo.
That's DJ Fitchy, a.k.a. Moo. He's our drummer, and he's our percussionist.
Just because he plays a box with buttons on it.
Yeah, he plays a box with buttons on it, though.
It's still drums.
Yeah, there you go.
So in a different form.
Let's go on drummer.
He's the Gwan drummer. That's what he is.
Yeah, yeah.
It must feel good to be
Gwan drummer.
Gwan. The Gwan drummer. It must feel nice to be back in Australia. You guys played those two shows at the Opera House that were sold out as well last time you were here.
Yeah, that was epic. Actually, just yeah, I mean, so cool to go to.
That's definitely going in the memoirs.
Yeah, yeah, they tick that one. Oh, yes, Sydney Opera House. Tick.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome, special, and we did like two shows in one day as part of the Graphics Festival.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And it was fantastic. Just so awesome to play such a beautiful spot. Mm. It was amazing.
You've got four shows left in Australia. I've got the dudes from Fat Freddy's Drop in the studio. Have a listen to this. And I want to talk about your pre-gig routine. Because I heard it. Yeah, that's what I heard about it. That's right.
There's many of them.
She talking that she's...
on Triple J, that is Fat Freddy's Drop, Silver and Gold. They're in the studio, two of the, was it eight people on stage, Fat Freddy's Drop.
Yeah.
The rest of us wouldn't fit
in the studio.
That's true, it's true. But that was you, Ho Pepper, on the trombone, and sounding pretty damn lovely.
Thank you, that's our epic wind out at the end there.
Yes. So how long does the show go for when you guys play?
Oh, two and a bit.
Yeah, two and a bit hours generally.
Gosh.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Are you all and change.
On stage for the whole show?
Mostly,
I run off and get changed, but then...
Well, now let's talk about that, get running off and getting changed, because you'd want to have your clothes looking nice, wouldn't you there, Joe?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of...
He does.
Yes. Now, a lot of pre-show gig routines...
Girls go crazy for a sharp-dressed man, apparently.
So what is your pre-show routine?
This has been let out of the bag a few times now, and I will have to get photographic evidence at some stage, but before a show, I stand around and iron in my tighty whities.
In his Y fronts.
And singlet.
And, you know.
It's just, well, you know, you're going to put the clothes on, so there's, you know, it's like, anyways, don't need to go on.
He likes to iron before a show.
Ironing is good.
It's therapeutic. It's a therapy.
It's something you can focus on that's not music. That kind of just calms you down a wee bit and just, and you can sort of, it's meditative.
It would be meditative, but you're playing these quite big shows, like these shows that you're playing at the moment are massive, but I can imagine you would be in some crammed little spaces trying to fit an ironing board in there.
Yeah, and sometimes the links that the production, no, tour manager will go through to get an ironing board and iron. It's kind of like, it's like my red M&Ms, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
I'm not going on stage until I've got my ironing board.
It's so rock and roll.
With eight people on stage, has anyone ever offered you their back to iron on? This is like, we can't find an ironing board, so slave's going to lie down and just get...
My ironing slave.
I mean, that's obviously how MC Slave got his name.
Okay, if I had to, I might take one for the team. If it came down to it, if the pressure was really on and show had to go on, I might do that, but I haven't done it yet.
No. I'm so tough, my wife irons my clothes while I'm still wearing them.
Yeah. I'm so tough. Yeah.
Two members of Fat Freddy's Drop are in the studio. Hey, Jack's on the line. He wants to say good day. Jack, you saw Fat Freddy's at Splendor in the Grass?
I did. And at the Enmore on Thursday night.
Oh, g'day, Jack. How you doing?
Hey, Jack.
Good, thanks. Hey, guys.
Hey, mate.
Now, tell us...
Yeah, great show on Thursday.
Oh, thank you.
Now, something happened at Splendor in the Grass that you may want us to follow up.
Yeah, well, I was at Splendor and I was dancing, like, almost up the front row, like maybe 5 metres back, dancing with a lovely girl. But then at the end of the from the beginning of the set, at the end of the night, we shared a little kiss. And then as soon as the set ended, we just went our separate ways. Didn't get a number. Didn't even get a name.
Ladies and gentlemen, people listening, let's make that love connection right now. If you're out there, oh, mystery beautiful girl in the front row, please call, text the station immediately.
Jack, do you know anything? Can you give us any information about this mystery kiss that you got? What's she like? What do you know? This lady's name? Anything else important?
Didn't get a name. Oh. I know she was pretty good looking.
Oh. Okay, so the pretty good looking lady thinking, watching Fat Freddy's drop and kissing a dude named Jack at Splendor
in
the Grass.
I'm kind of thinking a little bit Italian, actually. I don't know where I got that from,
okay,
though.
Okay, not bad. Okay, and is this why you went back, apart from watching Fat Freddy's drop, to the M to try and find her?
That wasn't the only reason. I went really because of the awesome music. But it was definitely, I was keeping an eye out while I was there.
All right.
But she must know you've got great taste. So there you go.
There you go. Great taste in music. That's one thing you know about. Hey, if you are this girl, if you reckon you know what's going on, give us a call. 1-300-055-36. Thank you, Jack. I hope you find your love. Your Fat Freddy's love.
Yeah. Cheers, Jack.
Cheers, Jack, mate. Oh, that's cool. Good luck, buddy.
There you go. Bringing people together.
I hope we can. I hope this one works out.
This one, I really do.
Yeah.
If none others work, just this one. On Triple J, this is Cubs Sport. On Triple J, this time last week, they were known as Cub Scouts. Now, Cub Sport, after the Cub Scouting movement asked them to change their name. That is Paradise from them on Triple J. But in the studio, a band who has never had to change their name, Fat Freddy's Drop. Let's face it, there's no Fat Freddy's who are going to drop a lawsuit on you guys.
We hope not.
Gilbert Shelton, mate.
The guy who invented the character Fat Freddy from the fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, he might take issue, okay, but we haven't heard from him yet.
No.
What about the criminal who now does speaking tours around Australia with no ears, who... your sax player, Chopper Reeds, is named after.
Chopper Reeds, that's right.
He hasn't heard anything whilst you've been on tour around Victoria?
No. No one's come after him, said, oh, you got my name, buddy. Nothing. So it's lucky for him, but yes, no Chopper Reeds. In fact, I think he got
Christmas. It was with love. It's an honorarium.
It's a tribute, yeah.
Honorarium.
Well, you've got one more show left in Melbourne. That still could happen. There's four shows left.
Well, hopefully he likes the music, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say so. You guys are playing tomorrow at the Enmore Theatre, then two shows at the Astor in Perth, and then one more show at the Forum.
Yes.
And three shows in Auckland and a hometown show at the State Opera House in Wellington.
Yes.
Which is lovely stuff indeed. And do you guys do DJ sets after every show?
No. We did one the other night on Saturday night. We've done it maybe a couple times, but not that often. I think we sort of kind of choose our moments, I think.
Yeah, there'd because there'd be a lot. There's big shows. You're saying 2.5 hour shows.
And then go DJ a club for it. But we did it. It was fun on Saturday night.
You guys played some great music.
We smashed it. It was great. It was great fun to just... And I mean, I find it quite fun to do something like that after a show because you're sort of all, you know, adrenalized, you know, after the show, and it's like, well, might as well do something with it, you know, play some music or do something.
Surely, Joe, you just go and, you know, iron some clothes to get wear off.
He was a dancing machine. Not only did he dance for 2 hours on stage, then he hit the club.
There you go.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Get my moves on.
Nice. Well, there's some moves to be getting on for the rest of this week. And then you guys are off to Europe?
Yeah, for the whole of October, pretty much. Yeah. That's, playing the Brixton Academy in London. Few cool spots. Yeah, finished the tour in Lisbon in Portugal, actually.
At the Coliseum. Which is an amazing venue. It's like an old circus, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, it's like a...
An old Coliseum.
It's an old Coliseum.
But it's brilliant place, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Well, have fun. Some texts coming in, people digging you guys. Joe from Brisbane, you were the highlight of his at Splendor. Val said, my favourite band, saw them at the Byron Blues Festival.
Oh, nice.
Another one of yours. And Darky in Elwood says, Doctor and Fat Freddy's crew, I was at the Sat Night gig, had the best night. Beers and herb were flowing, but most of all, the tunes were awesome.
Oh, very good.
That's great. Guys, thank you.
Love that.
Hey, I'm going to play Clean the House.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the video clip for this is you guys as marionettes, really creepy marionettes, like Thunderbirds crossed with Reservoir Dogs.
That's exactly. Pretty much it. What do we call it? Grindhouse. It's like Freddy's Grindhouse puppet action. Bubbles. Yeah.
And how many marionette artists were involved in this?
Well, there's a guy, I directed the video, and this guy, John Coddington, he made the puppets, and he'd done a show called Puppet Fiction, sort of based on a comedy of Pulp Fiction. Yes. And then we're like, and it was sort of like a joke. He was actually a barista at the local cafe.
Oh, he makes my coffee every morning. Yeah. He's like a really lovely guy.
John's there, and he's like, and it was sort of like a gag, like, oh, yeah, what if you made some Freddy's puppets? And he was like, yeah, I could do that. And it was like, oh, And then it was sort of all just happened. It was like, okay, let's make a video. How about we, you know, puppets and car chases and bar fights and, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's sort of, John's amazing. He built all those puppets. And
great puppets. Have you still got the puppets somewhere or has he got
them? Yeah. They're residing in Wellington.
I'm just suggesting, I know the tour's kind of wrapped up now, like, but merch would be a pretty good idea.
What, puppets?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You could take one of your favorite Freddy.
Collect a set, or
take your favorite Freddy home to cuddle and manipulate.
And manipulate. Now you're pulling the strings.
Hey, Hope Pepper. Hey, MC Slave. Thank you so much for dropping in today. Say good day to the rest of Fat Freddy's Drop, and we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you, mate.
No worries. Have fun in Europe too. I'll see you guys soon.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.